How's everybody? Let's try that again. How's everybody? Everybody live and awake, ready to go? Praise God. How about a Texas joke? Everybody need a Texas joke? Well, it's not really a joke, but you'll see the point. A man in Denver, Colorado decided to write a book about churches around the country, so he started flying to San Francisco and started working east from there. Going to a very large church, he began taking photographs and making notes. He spotted an interesting golden telephone on the vestibule wall and was intrigued with a sign which read $10,000 a minute. Seeking out the pastor, he asked about the phone, and the pastor answered that this golden phone is in fact a direct line to heaven, and if you pay the price, you can talk directly to God. So the man thanked the pastor, continued on his way, and as he continued to visit churches in Seattle and Denver, Green Bay, Chicago and Milwaukee and other places all around the United States, he found more and more phones with the same sign that had the same answer from each pastor. Well, finally, he arrived in Texas. Upon entering a church in Fort Worth, Texas, behold, he saw the usual golden telephone. But this time, the sign read calls, 25 cents. Fascinated, he asked the pastor, "Reverend, I've been in cities all across the country, and in each church I've found this golden telephone and have been told that it is a direct line to heaven, that I could talk to God, but in the other churches the cost was $10,000 a minute. Your sign reads 25 cents a call. Why is that?" The pastor smiled, replied, "Son, you're in Texas now. This is God's country. It's a local call." Oh, there you go. Somebody years ago got me a mug. What was it? It said, if you live a good life on the earth, when you die, you'll go to Texas. Whatever. Oh, my God. Here we go. Hey, listen, this wasn't a football thing. We're not talking about I mean, my goodness, football's way back here. We don't even talk about football right now. Well, moving on to spiritual things that are more important. Got an ornery crowd this morning. See how it's going to be. In Lamentations chapter 3, if you'll turn to Lamentations chapter 3, we'll start here. Lamentations chapter 3, started with verse number 22. You bunch of heathen. It's fitting that we go here. Lamentations 3:22, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that you are not consumed." Actually, it says we. "Because his compassions fail not, for they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Great is your faithfulness. Praise God, this is a new year, but you know, it's just another day. 2023 is just tomorrow. I love this song that they sang. You know, he holds our future. Just because he lives, I can face today, tomorrow, and the days to come. But you know, with confidence, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." We are here. We made it to the next day. Amen. Amen. "We are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." So every single morning when you wake up, you can declare, "Thank God I'm alive to go another day." Yes, amen. Amen. Verse 33 says, "For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." Verse 40 says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." So every day that you're alive on this earth is a new day to thank God for his mercies and turn again to him. Because maybe you missed it yesterday. Maybe 2022 was a day that you'd rather forget. A year that you'd rather forget. Well, that's all right. Just turn to him. It's that easy. "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." One of the greatest verses, I believe, that's found in the Bible is Psalm 84:11, it says, "The Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." No good thing. No good thing. In the Passion Translation, it says, they will never lack one thing they need. He provides it all. So we have an all-expense-paid trip in this life here on earth. He's covered everything. He's thought of everything. You know, I always like to remind myself, especially, you know, when it comes to the new year, that the best is yet to come. And that's not just a phrase that we have, just something that we say flippantly. You know, the Bible declares from beginning to end that it is a day that you can expect every single day that the best day is yet to come. The days ahead are the best days. They are the best days yet to come. Well, I think when it comes to that thought process, I think one of the best scriptures you can go to is this scripture, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I believe God's best is actually found in this verse, in this statement, no good thing will he withhold. That's God's best. Isn't that right? In other words, God's not holding out on us. He's not holding back for later, right? He provided everything you need. He's not keeping back anything from us. He's always trying to get things to us and through us. Always. You know, we just got back from the Christmas season. And you know, I'm sure those of you that had little kids at some point in your life, maybe they're grown up, maybe they are still young. You know, at some point, your children, little children, have gotten cash for a gift. Right? Well, what's the first thing you do with that cash? You say, thank you, I'll take that. For safekeeping. Because if you don't take it, it's going to end up thrown away in the garbage. It's going to end up, you know, or if they're a little bit older, they're going to blow it on some kind of junk. Right? You know, in the early days when my kids were growing up, we would go out to Texas for the holidays, and inevitably they'd get cash or money. So when they were a little bit older, you know, they'd have this cash in their hand. And Matthew was one of these that, you know, he just wanted to blow it on junk. You know, and so the first junk store he found, he just wanted to buy junk. And I was always like, look, man, you know, let's not do that. Let's not be careless with your money, because there's other things you're going to want to spend it on. But if you carelessly spend this money, then you're not going to have it for later. And so as a good parent would do, you know, you take the money, you hold on to it, and you help them along the way. Well, see, that's holding back on them. That's not letting them have everything all at one time because you don't know how they're going to respond to it. That's not God's thought process. You see, from day one, God thought of everything, and he provided everything you need. He's not holding back. He give it all to you. Amen. Everything you need. And he says, it's yours. Take it. Take it. Do what you want to with it. We have a free will, though. We have a free will to take what he's freely provided and appropriate it in our lives. You don't have to take healing for yourself. You don't have to take prosperity for yourself. You don't have to take peace of mind for yourself. It's freely provided. Right? So you have to appropriate the blessings of God. In other words, you have to take them for yourself, understanding it's God's will for you to have it all. Amen. But in order to receive God's best, it does require a serious commitment from you. Just like it requires a serious commitment for your kids to do what's right with that money. It takes a serious commitment. To receive God's best, you must be willing to give him your best. And see, that's what I want to encourage you with this morning as we enter into the new year. Give God your best. Determine this morning that going into this next year, he's going to get my best. He's going to get my best. And I determined this morning, he's going to get my best. You know, I'm not talking about earning salvation. I'm not talking about earning healing. I'm talking about a determination to make a serious commitment to take your faith walk to another level in this next year. Come on now. Jerry Savelle one time said, if you are desperate to have God's best in your life, you will be willing to do whatever the Word requires of you. Oh, that's a strong statement, isn't it? Are you desperate enough? I said, are you desperate enough? You know, we make resolutions this time of year. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But people oftentimes make a resolution and they'll, you know, they're declaring, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. You know, and so they make these declarations. We know a resolution is no more than a fixed purpose to reform your life. In other words, you're saying, I'm going to make a resolution. I'm going to determine to fix my life in this particular area. So you make this resolution that you're going to undertake an expedition. You know, we're going to go on this journey throughout this year because I want to better myself. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you've made a resolution, let me encourage you to stick with it. Especially if it's something that you know, this is the best resolution you can make right here. Right? As I was preparing this message, I was thinking, you know, even though I've been doing this for quite a number of years, the one resolution that I've made year after year after year is, Lord, show me something I've never seen before, that I could do something or accomplish something that I've never accomplished before. In other words, I've read through this Bible so many times year after year. I determine just about every year to read through the Bible completely. And, you know, I don't put the pressure on myself. If I miss a day for something happens, something strange, I don't put that pressure on myself because then you don't get anything out of it. I mean, you know, Proverbs has, what, 32 chapters? Read a proverb a day. You know, if that's where your resolution is, if that's what you can comfortably, read a chapter a day out of Proverbs. It'll enrich your life. Right? So it's not about putting pressure on yourself, but it is about completing it. It is about going on an expedition and saying, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to make sure that we accomplish it. Right? But this is the best resolution you can make right here is I want to know this more. This is God's gift to you. It's life-giving. It's life-changing to all who receive it and to take it and apply it in your life. It'll change your life. I'm telling you. I said it'll change your life. I don't know about you, but I want more. Not content with just enough to get by or just enough, you know. I want more. This year is going to be a good year, but I expect more. Amen. Now listen, this last year was good. This was a good year. This was by far one of my best years. Sure, it presented challenges. Sure, I had to face things. We all do, right? If you wake up tomorrow, you're going to face challenges. But last year was a good year. You know, a number of years ago, I was thinking about this yesterday. A number of years ago, you know, the church, the ministry was going through some lean times. And now keep in mind that we've never gotten behind. I've been here for 27 years and not one single time have we ever gotten behind. Not one time. We've always had our bills paid. We've always had enough workers when it comes to the church. We've always had, never gotten behind. You understand? Never gotten behind. But a number of years ago, we were running on lean times. I mean, it got to a point, you know, Daniel was working for us during that time, and Daniel will tell you, you know, there was times when I said, hey, don't go to Lowe's today. You know, you come see me before you need to get anything, buy anything. Or, you know, it just got tight. Everybody's been there. You ever been there in your life? You know, you have to make decisions about where to cut back a little bit. So we were going through this time, and I was talking to Margaret about some of this because we were dealing with payroll things and different things. Margaret made a statement to me that has always stuck with me. In fact, I put it on a sticker, and I put it on my folder that I do staff meetings with. And it was this. She made this statement. She said, never think survival, think increase. That stuck with me. Because, you know, during those particular times, my job around here is administrator. I handle the money, handle the finances, handle, you know, the staff. And so I'm on survival mode. I'm thinking, you know, we just got $5 over budget this week. So I'm going through this, and honest to goodness, my thought process is we got to survive. But when she said that, it just changed my way of thinking about things because I've always been accused of being a tightwad. I've always been accused of you know, holding on to my wallet. People joke about my wallet creaking when I open it up, you know. But it's because my job, I feel a responsibility to the Lord to be a caretaker of what He's placed in our hands. So I always want to do a good job of that. I always want to make sure, Lord, let's not be wasteful. Show me, help me to run this place and do this thing. And so when she made that comment to me, it really stuck out to me, and I began to see some things in Scripture that really helped me during those times. Now you understand, we're not there anymore. We are years past that. God has blessed us, taken care of us. In the middle of a pandemic, we paved a parking lot and paid cash for it. You remember that? Yeah. So the Lord's blessed us. He always provides for us. We always have more than enough. when we weren't having church in here, our income went up about 20%. And it hadn't backed off. So always think survival, or never think survival, think increase. In Psalm 4:1 it says, "You have enlarged me in my distress." That's God's word. In the middle of your distress, in the middle of your worst moments, the Bible says, "You have enlarged me in my distress." The Voice translation says, "Hide me in your favor, bring victory in defeat, and hope in the middle of hopelessness." See, we've all been there. We've all been there in those moments of hopelessness, and yet in those times, in those dire times, we can find favor and victory in the Lord. Sheila got me watching this show with her a number of weeks ago. There's a show called Alone. Has anybody ever seen it? Is it on the History Channel? I think it's on the History Channel. And so anybody seen it? So these 10 competitors are sent out, and like we were watching one, they were in Antarctica. And so they dropped them off, and their goal is to spend 100 days, and they drop them off, and they can pick like 10 things that they can take with them. And so they're sent off. So what? Let's say, you know, we all go to Chattanooga, and we're all dropped off at different locations where we would never intersect. Okay, same principle. So they drop these people off, and their goal, some of them say 100 days, some of them say you have to outlast each other. So in other words, you want to be the last person that's by yourself alone, and you've survived all these days. And so it's usually, you know, 70, 80, 90 days, whatever, that they're out there. So their goal is to outlast each other. And so they take, you know, they can pick what they take. They can take an axe, or they can take a bow. You know, they can take something to start a fire with. They can take a certain amount of clothing. But, you know, really they're going out there with basically nothing. They have to find their food. I think they can take a bag of rice and a bag of beans or something like that. But, I mean, you know, how long is that going to last? So they're sent out there to do this thing, and so they're all alone. They're all alone. They can take one picture of a family member. And they're by themselves. And so this show was interesting because you really began to see, you know, they're in survival mode. They're in, I have to out-survive the person next to me. I have to be the last one. And so their whole thought process is, what can I do to survive for the next 75 to 100 days? So they're scrimping, and they're you know, if they kill a squirrel, they're eating everything. They're eating the head, the eyeballs, the brain. You know, they're eating whatever they can get because they're trying to get the calories and things like that. I think Sheila and I determined we might last 2 days. Maybe. Because that's not me. You know? But maybe somebody like Daniel. Daniel could last a week, man. Daniel could go at it. He could kill whatever he needs. He can build whatever he need, you know. He could. Not saying that you could last longer than a week. I was just saying outlast me, for sure. That's not me. I'm not gonna last. I'm gonna be. See, they give them a little walkie-talkie thing with a button, and then they call and they say, "Come pick me up." Day two, I'd be like, "Come pick me up." Right? I'm done. I don't understand why I even committed to this. I'm done. Come pick me up. Well, what you're trying to do is you're trying to outlast your opponent. That's your whole goal. Well, listen, we have an adversary, but we've already won the game. We've already won. So whenever you're going through a tough time, you say, "Lord, pick me up. Pick me up." Now, that don't mean I'm ready to go home checking out. It just means, "Lord, you got this. I don't have to sit through this. I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to deal with this sickness. I need a little money. Lord, you got this. You got this." So, because the Bible says our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So, well, is that the way that works? Well, yeah. He may not in my life. I said, he may not in my life. Seeking whom he may devour, he may not in my life. I don't know about you, but that's what I declare all the time, is he may not in my life. I'm not his prey. So you find yourself in survival mode. But you know, faith always has a positive report. You would have never known it around here during those lean years. If you were outside of staff or outside of family, you would have never known it. Because faith always has a positive report. Are you going through something? Faith always has a positive report. Faith always declares, I'm going through this. Faith always declares, I'm healed. Faith always declares, I have more than enough. Faith always declares the victory. We always live on the victory side of life. I saw something a number of years ago that really blessed me. You know, we go through Matthew chapter 6 and we concentrate on a lot of things. You know, take no thought for your life. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these are really good. But somebody pointed out something that really stood out to me. But in Matthew 6:25, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. In other words, don't worry about it. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you're going to put on. Is life not more than meat, and the body more than clothing? Now watch this. Behold, the fowls of the air, or the birds, behold the birds of the air, for they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are we not much better than they? In other words, the birds don't pay up, stack up for later. The birds don't have to sow. The birds don't have to reap. They don't have to gather up in the birds do nothing but eat. That's all they do. The birds just fly around and they eat. And so I was actually listening to Keith Moore, and he was talking along these lines, and he said, so if the birds eat, Keith eats. Well, I grabbed a hold of that one. So if the birds eat, John eats. Is that registering with you? So there never has to be a lean time in your life. You never have to get there. You might face that, but you don't have to give in to it. Come on now. If the birds eat, John eats. Can you say that? Don't say John, but use your name. Say it with me. If the birds eat, John eats. That needs to be your focus in this life, in this year that's coming up, is if the birds eat, I eat. So, I don't have to worry. I don't have to give anxious thought. I don't have to be concerned about it. I don't have to take thought for my life about all those things, for my Heavenly Father is taking care of me. Oh, thank God for that. Amen. Again, that certainly doesn't mean that there's not going to be challenges. Sure, we're going to face challenges in the year to come. There's going to be things that come out up throughout the year. But when you enter the year determined that you're going to make it through, it'll really change your perspective. Amen? You ever been in a tight spot? You ever been ever faced anything? You're going to come through it. Amen? I like Paul's approach. You know, Paul's an interesting character as you go through the New Testament, in Acts in particular. Paul faced some challenges. But in Acts chapter 20, verse number 22, I like Paul's approach here. In verse 22 it says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking about the year to come, because as it turns out, most oftentimes, Pastor Mark is traveling to see his family, you know, the first of the year. And so I have the opportunity to bring a message to get us going into the new year. And when I read this scripture, I thought, well, there it is. There it is. Paul said, I'm going bound by the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that are going to befall me there. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in this year. There's a lot of people that possibly you listen to that have prophesied about the year to come or the things they might know. Listen, we don't know what the year is going to become. We don't know what's going to come up. We don't know the challenges we're going to face. So Paul says, I don't know the things that are going to befall me there, save the Holy Spirit witness in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. So in other words, Paul knew he was going to suffer challenges. But here it is. But none of those things move me. See, this morning I think you need to declare, none of those things are going to move me. None of those things are going to move you off the Word of God, off what you believe, off your faith walk. None of those things move me. Right? None of those things move me. Well, that's a determined decision to keep moving in the midst of challenges. So let me encourage you this year, because those times will come up, whenever your challenge comes up, none of those things move me. That needs to be your response. None of those things move me. And you understand, Paul was somebody that this was more than just a word to him. This was something he was living out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8, it says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." In other words, we are hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. For the life also of Jesus might be manifest to our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe. Somebody say, I believe.
I believe.
I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. In other words, Paul was saying, I've been surrounded by trouble, but none of those things move me. He said, I'm going to speak what I believe, and that is, none of those things move me. He was hard-pressed, he was crushed, he was pressed on all sides, but not in despair, not destroyed. That needs to be your approach. Look a couple chapters over. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 gives us a little more insight. Verse number 23. Again, this is Paul testifying of the things that he suffered. Verse 23, it says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one." He was beat. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I suffered a shipwreck. Listen, you would have had me on the first shipwreck. And it wasn't just that the boat was going down and had to be rescued. It says, listen, he goes on to say, "A night and a day have I been in the deep." So 3 he was shipwrecked. And in fact, we get revelation here that one of those times he spent at least 24 hours, I guess, bobbing up and down in the ocean. And yet Paul can declare, I'm crushed on every side, but I'm not in despair. I'm pressed, but I'm not going to give up. None of these things move me. In journeys often in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen. Did you see that? Perils of my own countrymen. Perils by the heathen. We expect perils by the heathen. Perils of your own people. Perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watching often, in hunger, thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. Behold, those things that are without, and that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And yet, he says, none of those things move me. I wonder how many times we're going through something and we wonder, did I miss it somewhere? Am I out of the will of God? Bless his heart, I had a conversation with somebody the other day and he was talking about going to a funeral of somebody and started talking about, I think it was off Michigan Avenue here a couple days ago, a 3-year-old child was shot in the back of the head. We got into this conversation and you know, it led to, I don't debate anybody, you understand, it's just not my, I'm not going to debate anybody. I'll tell you what the Word says, and you're not going to move me off the Word. I mean, it doesn't matter what you tell me, it's not going to change my mind about what this says. So I don't debate with anybody. If you ask my opinion, I'll give you my opinion. I have a lot of them. But if you take my opinion, it all goes back to right here. So I don't debate with anybody, but this individual was questioning things. You know, it's kind of like the old thing, why does bad things happen to good people? And you begin to really feel out where somebody's at when they start questioning God. Well, what about when somebody's serving the Lord and this happens? Well, I guess it's a valid question, but the Word says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come to give life. So don't ever take sides against God. Don't ever take sides against God. If it kills, steals, and destroys, who's responsible for that? That's basic Christianity. So in that moment, the only thing that I could think of is, well, we live in a fallen world. I said, we live in a fallen world. But also said there's a lifetime of things that we don't understand on this side of heaven. But I do know this, God is a good God, and He always does good things. I said God is a good God, and He always does good things. So don't ever get into this questioning, challenges come up, did I miss it? Lord, where? Yeah, it's good to say, Lord, did I miss it? It's good to be open to correction. But don't get off into, am I out of the will of God? Did I miss it? What's wrong? Well, what's wrong is that we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Things are going to come up. We live in a world where we deal with people. Fallen people. Fallen people. Unsaved people. Right? And so your perspective on this thing has to be, God's a good God. The devil's a bad devil. But when you don't understand, when your faith is tested the most, always remember there's a devil and he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. See, when you don't understand what's going on, that's when your faith is tested the most. Look back, 2 Chronicles 20. We've touched on this a number of times recently, but 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat and Judah are surrounded by their enemy. And it says in verse number 12, 2 Chronicles 20, 12, it says, O God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do. What does it say? But our eyes are upon you. Yeah, there's going to be things you don't understand. There's going to be things that come up that you can't begin for the life of you to understand why you're facing the challenge. But see, they were surrounded by their enemy. Your response has to be, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm looking to you. I don't understand this, but I'm going to get into your word and I'm going to concentrate on this. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to know the whys and the how comes. All you got to know is God's on your side. Pastor, that's easy. That's just kind of a cop-out. No, it's not. It's the truth, and it's the truth that's going to make you free. It's the truth that's going to see you through. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you, so don't ever take sides against God. God, why did you bring us here? Why are we in the midst of this challenge? Why are we surrounded by our enemies? They didn't do that. They said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Amen. Going back to Paul, go back to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, we already looked at the challenges he faced. But listen to this. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, it says, For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction was but for a moment. Our light affliction is but for a moment. Works for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. Temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, your situation is subject to change. Paul, shipwrecked three times, let alone all the other things. And he said, it's a light affliction. If I was shipwrecked, I'd be on Fox News telling everybody. Did you know what I had to do? I had sharks swimming around me, and I don't even like to fish. I was shark bait. Let me tell you the story. Telling everybody how hard I had it, how long I was out there a day and a night, and I didn't know how we were going to make it. Paul calls that a light affliction. Beaten with rods, stoned, and he said, for our light affliction is temporary. Oh, that we could have that attitude when challenges come up. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul had a short memory. Forgetting those things which are behind. Listen, some things need to be left in 2022. I'll say that again. Some things need to be left in 2022. Maybe you endured afflictions. Maybe you dealt with some things. Maybe somebody said something to you or about you that you've just been rehearsing over and over day after day after day after day after day. Just leave it into yesterday. I said, none of those things move me. Do you know that's one of the most challenging things that we face in this life? Not sickness, not disease, not hardships like that. I believe one of the hardest things we face in this life are words that were spoken against you or about you. Because we rehearse them over and over and over, and then it begins to affect your health, and then it begins to affect your love walk, and then it begins to affect your joy and your peace. So leave it in 2022. His mercy is new every morning. Today's a new day. Why don't you just forget about it? We always say this time of year, let's just start with a clean slate. Yeah, why don't we do that? Why don't you just leave it in the past? So Paul goes on to say, and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You have to love Paul's perspective on challenges. Earlier on in Philippians 1:19, he says, for I know. Somebody say, I know. He says, for I know that this thing shall turn. I know that this thing shall turn. I know that this thing shall turn. So it's important to stay steady in the middle of difficult times. And not every step will be joyous, but you can finish with joy. Right? Micah 7:8. A couple more passages here. Micah 7:8 says, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Listen, in every season of life, good times and bad, you need to know when you're challenged that you need to get up. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falls seven times, but rises up again. The Message Bible reads, God loyal people don't stay down for long. Soon they're up on their feet. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. So don't quit. Don't quit. Listen, the reality is Satan may have just fired his best shot, and your victory is right upon you. He might have just given you all he's got, and you're still standing. So Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Oh, I love it in the Message Bible. It says, don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing, but you need to stick it out. Stay with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. Oh, thank God. I said, thank God. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. You want to be there for the end. I said, you want to be there for the end. You want to be there for the promised completion. Glory to God. 1 John 5:4 says, For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes even our faith. So, James says, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations and trials. The Message Bible says, you know that under pressure, anybody under pressure? I like it. Pat says, no, not me. Not me. Are you under pressure this morning? James says, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So what's going to be revealed this morning? What's going to show up whenever you're challenged? Is it going to be your faith in God? Don't quit. Be encouraged. Today's a new day. Be encouraged. You're here. You made it. You made it. I said you made it. Man, you think about some things that you faced this last year and you didn't know how you was ever going to come through. You made it. You're here. Glory to God. Be encouraged this morning. We're going to make it. We're going to make it to a completion. We're going to see that day because we're not quitters. We're going to keep pressing ahead just like Paul did. Anytime something comes up this year, we're going to declare, it doesn't move me. It doesn't move me. It doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't move me. It's not going to move me off my sure foundation of the Word. It's not going to move me off what I believe. There's nothing you can do to talk me out of this right here. Nothing. Nothing. Not your experience, not what mama told you. Nothing is going to move me off. I could be challenged beyond challenges. Challenged as far as I've ever been challenged before, and I'm going to go, doesn't move me. Doesn't move me. Doesn't move me. Are you getting this morning? None of these things move me. Oh, glory to God. Oh, that we would be faith people full of the Word. Father, we thank you for your Word this morning. We always declare it's life-giving, life-changing to all who choose to believe it and act on it. Your Word gives us life. Your Word promises health and victory. So this morning we lay hold of health and victory. Glory to God. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. You know, it is a new year. Maybe things didn't go like you thought they would in the previous year or just yesterday. Today is a new day. Why not leave this place different than you came in? Everybody bow your head, close your eyes for just a moment. This is just between you and God, but maybe you've been facing some challenges. Maybe in your life, things haven't been going like you would like. Well, this morning, you can make a declaration of your faith, and you can determine for yourself that in the days ahead, things are going to be different. Things are going to be different. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, just in a moment, you can change that. Anybody in here in the sound of my voice, you don't know what it means to be saved. You don't know what it means to declare Jesus Lord of your life. Oh, I'm telling you, things can be different. Things can be different. Is that you this morning? Anybody at all? Glory to God. Everybody look up at me. How many of you can declare this has been a good year? I can. This has been a good year. This has been a good year. This has been one of my best years. And I believe the days to come are going to be better yet. It's going to get better and better. It's going to get better and better. Sheila and I love our life. We love what we do. I get on her nerves a little bit. She still loves me. We're loving life. We love the Lord. We love what we do. We wouldn't be doing anything else if we could. If you paid me $1 million to do anything else, I wouldn't want to do anything else. Well, I don't know. You wait. No, it's not about money. It's about joy. It's about what brings you joy and peace, health, prosperity, victory. Oh, there's more important things in this world.
find out what those things are, and then do everything that you can, everything within you, to pursue those things. Can you do that? I said, can you do that? Can you make that resolution? We're going to make a life-altering resolution this year, and it's going to be to know this more. Show me your word, Lord. Show me your word, Lord. Show me things I've never seen before so that I can experience a side of you I've never experienced before. Oh, glory to God. Everybody healthy? Everybody wealthy and wise? Amen. Praise God. Well, go encouraged. Go encouraged. Turn around and greet somebody next to you. Tell them, be encouraged. None of these things move me. Amen.